الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue with the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi, tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman fi tafsir kalam al-Mannan. And Allah has blessed us to make it to verse 118 in Surah Al-Baqarah, which reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال الذين لا يعلمون لولا يكلمنا الله أو تأتينا آية كذلك قال الذين من قبلهم مثل قولهم تشابهت قلوبهم قد بينا الآيات لقوم يوقنون إنا أرسلناك بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا ولا تسأل عن أصحاب الجحيم. Someone can you read verses 118, 119 in English please, or the meaning of the ayat in English. Now.
Bismillah. And those who have no knowledge say, why does not Allah speak to us face to face? Or why does not a sign come to us? So said the people before them, words of similar import. Their hearts are alive. We have indeed made plain the signs for people who believe with certainty. Verily, we have sent you, Muhammad, with the truth of Islam, a bringer of glad tidings, or those who believe in what you do. That's given new to paradise, and a warner for those who disbelieve what you do, hopes that you will enter the heaven. And you will not be asked about the rigors of the day of the days in fire.
بارك الله فيك. قال الشيخ رحمة الله عليه أي قال الجهلة من أهل الكتاب وغيرهم هل لا يكلمنا كما كلم الرسل أو تأتينا آية يعنون آيات الاقتراح التي يقترحونها بعقولهم الفاسدة وآرائهم الكاسدة التي تجرؤوا بها على الخالق واستكبروا على رسله. The Sheikh said, the ignorant among the people of the book and others made this particular claim, which is, why doesn't Allah speak to us the same way He spoke to His messengers? And who is the one who Allah spoke to without any middle or intermediary?
Musa,
Kalimullah. He's called Kalimullah, yani the one who spoke to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. A. Or أو تأتينا آية يعنون آيات الاقتراح. Or why doesn't an ayah, a sign, comes to us? And what they mean is the ones that they suggest, not the sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends because Allah has sent down the ayat, but the ones that their own minds, the Shaykh as he called them, the ones that are suggested by their corrupt minds and their wicked opinions that they have used to be arrogant and to be able, yani they reach a point where they made such a statement against the creator of the heavens and the earth, and they became too arrogant to follow His messengers. وقولهم, and he will give us examples from other ayat from the Quran. لن نؤمن لك حتى نرى الله جهرا. They said, we will not believe until we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala face to face. We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala live in front of us. They will not believe. In another verse, يسألك أهل الكتاب أن تنزل عليهم كتابا من السماء فقد سألوا موسى أكبر من ذلك. Another verse says, the people of the book ask you to send down a book from the sky. And what they intended, because the Quran is a book from the sky, they wanted a book, a physical book that will go, you know, they will just see it in front of them. And this came in Surah Al-Isra. And they want to be able to go and touch it. Then they told them, even if this happens, we will not believe in you. Yeah. So disbelievers or disbelievers, they always try to find a way out. When someone wants to disbelieve, no matter what kind of truth you present to them, they will ever find a way to continue to disbelieve. Even in the most basic sense, when you're dealing with the kuffar in da'wah, when you reach you have established everything that needs to be established. They bring you something from the Bible, you refute it from the Bible. They tell you, I don't understand this, you explain it. They have a misconception, you remove it. Everything has been resolved. Now what is expected of this person is to the transfer on to Islam. Because khalas, the truth has become clear. You will find that they will find a way not to believe. Anything. Silly, even if it's silly, even if they know that you will not believe. But they don't care anymore because this is their quality. They have the quality of kufr. Once a person has the quality of disbelief, then you can, there's no way for him. There's no way unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills otherwise. So we have to know this, because sometimes when you give a da'wah to some people, you really get shocked. Say, you know, what's wrong with these people? What do they want? What else do they want? What else can I do? I've been giving them da'wah, I've been doing this, and they just don't want to become Muslims. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sealed their hearts, because they do not want the truth. The truth came and they rejected it accordingly. Allah says they have asked Musa even greater than that. They asked Musa that they also want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala face to face. وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ فَيَكُونَ مَعَهُ نَذِيرًا. Had only an angel come down with him so he could also be a warner along with him. Yani they wanted the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to be making da'wah with an angel accompanying him the whole time. You know, according to them, then we would believe. When we see an angel walking with you the whole time that this is also from Allah, then we would believe in the messenger. Why don't you have an angel walking with you? That means you're not the messenger of Allah. Look at this crazy stuff, man. أو يلقى إليه كنز أو تكون له جنة أو تكون له جنة, or some treasure will be given to him. He will have a lot of wealth, a lot of gold, a lot of stuff, or he will have a garden according to their own mind. And they wanted the Prophet ﷺ to be a king. You know, they want him to be a king with support from Allah, angels around him, wealth and money and property. Then we would believe. But you're just a regular man, yamshi fil aswaq, walking in the marketplace. How are we going to believe you're a messenger of God? And you walk in the marketplace just like everybody else, and you eat and drink. This is all in Surah Al-Furqan. You can read that, inshallah, on your own time. الآيات وقالوا وقوله وقالوا لن نؤمن لك حتى تفجر لنا من الأرض ينبوعا. Furthermore, they said in another occasion, the Prophet ﷺ, we will not believe in you unless you cause a water, a river to gush out from the ground. We want to see a live, you know, river just coming out of the ground, gushing out of the ground by your command. You know, you tell it to come out and we will believe. All these are called ayat al-iftirah, suggestions. What the disbelievers suggest and what they make the criteria for belief. If you do this, then we will believe. فَهَذَا دَأْبُهُمْ مَعْ رُسُولِهِمْ يَطْلِبُونَ آيَاتِ التَّعَنُّتِ لَا آيَاتِ الْإِسْتِرْشَادِ. So this is their methodology with their messengers, that they always ask for the signs of just being difficult and not the signs of guidance. It's not like they're trying to ask for something in order to be guided. They're just trying to find a way that he will not do what they want in order for them to remain on the disbelief and give themselves the excuse that I have the right to be a kafir because I told him to do this, he didn't do this, so now I'm okay. See how their mentality is. وَلَمْ يَقُمْ قَصْدُهُمْ تَبَيُّنِ الْحَقِّ فَإِنَّ الرُّسُلَ قَدْ جَاءُوا مِنَ الْآيَاتِ بِمَا يُؤْمِنُ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ الْبَشَرِ. Their intent was not to have the truth clear or clarified, because the messengers have brought signs by which the human beings would believe. Yani the sign was enough evidence that this is from Allah for them to believe. It's not like there was a deficiency in the signs. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, the Quran is the biggest miracle. This is evidence enough. There's no need more than that. There's nothing required more than the Quran as a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ to believe that he's the messenger of Allah. Then he also split the moon, alayhi salatu wasalam. He split the moon and they seen that with their own eyes. They said, our vision, magic has afflicted our vision. He was able with his magic to make us see things that really didn't happen. Imagine to what extent. He ﷺ told the moon to split and it split in the front of the disbelievers. They said that you made magic, this is magic you made on us. You made us see the moon split but the moon didn't split. What else are you going to do? If this is the people's character, what else are you going to do to make them believe? Nothing will work anymore because they don't want to believe. But these are excuses that they give. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى قَدْ بَيَّنَّا الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. That's why Allah says, we have made the clear signs. We have made the signs, clear for people with certainty. The people who believe, they've already seen what they need to see to believe. فكل موقن قد عرف من آيات الله الباهرة وبراهينه الظاهرة ما حصل له به اليقين واندفع عنه كل شك وريب. Each believer with certainty, he has known from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amazing signs of Allah and the proofs, the clear proofs that he has given, what he will attain by certainty. You will attain certainty by what you have seen. And it removes away every doubt and suspicion from the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that whether it is the universal signs or the legal signs. Universal signs, the things that you see in the universe, from the sun and the moon and everything, all these are evident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one deserving to be worshipped, and that you should believe in Him and not worship any gods or idols, false gods along with Him. And then the legal signs which Allah has sent down through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the verses in the Quran and the things that you see, and everything that you know we have in our lives. For a believer, they are means of certainty. Every time you see an event, say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, I'm upon the truth. Even when you watch a debate, for instance, between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, or you see some of the events that are happening to the non-Muslims, or some of the acts of worship, or some of their teachings, every time you see them, what happens to you? You have more certainty in your Islam. You feel more secure that you have made the right choice because of what you see from the signs that Allah has given. Even in the falsehood, you see the signs which will confirm the truth that you have. Alhamdulillah. ثم ذكر تعالى بعض آية موجزة مختصرة جامعة للآيات الدالة على صدقه صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحة ما جاء به، فقال إنا أرسلناك بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a summarized, abridged verse which encompasses many other signs that indicate the truthfulness of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the truthfulness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about that which he has brought and or that which he was given. فقال, verily we have sent you the truth as a bashir and a nadir. Bashiran wa nadira. Bashir is someone who gives glad tidings. That's why you hear me say abshir. So I'll come pick me up at 5 o'clock, abshir. Meaning I have glad tidings, يعني inshallah, confirmation, affirming with good news. On the other hand, al-nudhur, al-nadhir, al-munzir, depending on the derivative from the root word, all this deals with warning. Warning, which basically you should take heed, you know, caution and things of this sort. فهذا مشتمل على الآيات التي جاء بها وهي ترجع إلى ثلاثة أمور. The Shaykh said this verse, verily we have sent you with the truth as a giver of glad tidings and a warner. He said this encompasses three signs, and it goes back to three different affairs. These are the signs that he was given, and they go back to three different affairs. Al-awwal fi nafsi irsali. The first in the sending of him alayhi salam in and within itself, in the very sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa thani fi siratihi wa hadihi wa dalli. The second aspect is in his biography and his guidance, his character sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالثَّالِثِ فِي مَعْرِفَةِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. And thirdly, knowing what he has been given from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So then there are three ways. The first, in the very sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second, we deduce from his biography, from his character, from his guidance, the way he behaved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thirdly, from what he has been given from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. All these we use as an equivocal sign that the Prophet ﷺ is the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْأَوَّلْ وَالثَّانِ قَدْ دَخَلَا فِي قَوْلِهِ إِنَّ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ. The first and the second are included in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ أَرْسَلْنَاكَ. Verily, we have sent you. So that includes what? That includes the very sending of Him ﷺ and His biography and His guidance. وَالثَّالِثِ دَخَلَ بِقَوْلِهِ بِالْحَقِّ. And the third, the Qur'an and Sunnah is included in the word بالحق, with the truth. Verily we have sent you with the truth. So from verily we have sent you, we get the aspect of the knowing the Prophet ﷺ, him being sent himself and his biography and his guidance. And from بالحق, we know what he has been given from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The Shaykh would clarify. He says, وَبَيَانُ الْأَمْرِ الْأَوَّلِ وَهُوَ نَفْسُ إِرْسَالِهِ أَنَّهُ قَدْ عَلِمَ حَالَةَ أَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ قَدْ عُلِمَ حَالَةُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ قَبْلَ بِعْثَتِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَا كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ وَالنِّيرَانِ وَالصُّلْبَانِ وَتَبْدِيلِهِمُ الْأَدْيَانِ وَتَبْدِيلِهِمْ لِلْأَدْيَانِ. He says, in order to clarify the first element, meaning him being sent, the sending of the Prophet ﷺ particularly, it is known historically, the condition of the people of the earth before his advent sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from what they were upon, from the worship of idols and the worship of the fire and the worship of the cross and changing around their religions, particularly the Jews and the Christians, changing around the scriptures that they were given, the teachings. This is known, historically known, you know, like the Nicaea in 325, where the new doctrine was approved and accepted that Jesus became a God and the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost eventually got involved in the whole thing. And all of a sudden, the Christians have a brand new teaching other than that of Jesus, which is the Father is a God, the Son is a God, the Holy Spirit is a God, but they're not three gods, they're one God. Brand new. Like a car, you know the brand new car 2009? New car in the market, hey, 3.2. This one is 0.00-7. They came out with a new religion. Say, this is your new deen. And Constantine and his likes, you know, who liked this particular thing, started to propagate this new belief system. They killed anyone who opposed them. And now all Christians upon earth believe in that, more or less. Otherwise they cannot really be Christians, unless they believe in the divinity of Jesus and his death on the cross for the sins of those who accept him as their personal savior. There's no Christianity. There'll be no more Christianity. But this is what they believe today, and that is in opposition to the teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him. And obviously they have changed the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Jesus was given the gospel. But that's definitely what the gospel was. It wasn't teaching that. It wasn't teaching what they teach today. Al-Muhim, they have changed the religion. حَتَّى كَانُوا فِي ظُلْمَةٍ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ, until they were in a major darkness because of disbelief. قَدْ عَمَّتْهُمْ وَشَمَلَتْهُمْ, it has encompassed them and covered all of them. إِلَّا بَقَايَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ قَدْ انْقَرَضُوا قُبَيْلَ الْبَعْثَ, except some minor group, a small group among the people of the book who became extinct before the advent of the Prophet ﷺ, because they were among the followers of Jesus, that those who did not believe in the Trinity, those who believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in Jesus as the Messenger of Allah. These are our brothers in faith. And this is something we must understand. Those who truly followed Jesus during his time by worshipping Allah alone as he was teaching, because that's what he was teaching, and believing in Jesus as the Messenger of Allah, these are our brothers in faith. Because they did not get the chance to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Had he been sent, they would have believed, because they have the quality of Iman. The fact that Allah guided them to Iman and Jesus as the Messenger of Allah, meaning they have the quality of Iman. Yeah. Had the Prophet ﷺ came, they would have believed in him similarly. On the other hand, the disbelievers, it doesn't matter. If they rejected Jesus, meaning they would reject Muhammad ﷺ and anyone else, because they have the quality of rejection. So we must know that this is a quality, not the problem with the signs of Allah or with the books that Allah sends or with the very messenger that is available among them. It's not the problem with them. The problem is with the people. They have the quality of kufr, so they will find ways to believe, to disbelieve in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So,
now. This Waraka bin Al-Bad,
and
King Shama of Abyssinia,
hey.
They are the followers of true followers of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus? Yes, of course. No, of course, Al-Najashi, he wasn't until he became a Muslim upon the encounter he had with the Muslims when they recited upon him Surah Maryam, and then he started to cry and then he became a Muslim at that point. But before that, you know, before that, Allahu A'lam what his belief system was. And because the teachings of Jesus have been changed, whether he was upon a denomination that remained on the truth or he had deviated, Allahu A'lam, we don't know.
Was that Sahaba who recited it?
I don't remember either.
Because when he recited the Surah
Maryam, yes,
at the time, that was similar, very, very similar.
Exactly, now.
So he accepted Islam.
I don't remember the name of Sahabi. Allah musta'an. Tayyib. قَدْ انْقَرَضُوا قَبْ قُبَيْلَ الْبَعْثَ, so those the group of the people of the book who stood upon the truth, they became extinct. They didn't exist anymore. Yani at any, the bottom line is that they have reached a point where there was no one upon earth worshipping Allah alone. People are just in the state of kufr, major kufr. Different forms of kufr, but all of them upon kufr.
وقد علم أن الله تعالى لم يخلق خلقه سدى ولم يتركهم هملا لأنه حكيم عليم قدير رحيم.
And it is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create His creation in vain, for no reason. And He did not leave him unattended and abandoned, because He is all wise, all knowing, omnipotent and all merciful.
فمن حكمته ورحمته بعباده أن أرسل إليهم هذا الرسول العظيم.
So out of His wisdom and mercy to His creation is that He sent to them this mighty messenger, this great messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet Muhammad.
يأمرهم بعبادة الرحمن وحده لا شريك له.
And He commands them that they should worship the most merciful, Allah, alone with no partners.
فبمجرد رسالته يعرف العاقل صدقه.
Just by looking at the fact that He was sent, you can tell that He's already upon the truth. Yani it's common sense. If you look at it from a common sense perspective, that's what the Shaykh Sharan established. The people of the book who were worshipping, yani they changed the deen. Fire worshippers, cross worshippers, pagans, idol worshippers, everything around on earth, the whole earth. Furthermore, the minor group of people of the book who were still upon the truth have become extinct.
Right.
Did Allah create His creation for nothing? No. He would never leave him unattended without the truth. So it is only natural that during this time of drought, if we may say, the drought of faith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send a messenger who will revive the belief in Allah and call the people to worship Allah alone. So just the fact that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in this time already is a sign that he is truthful. Because everything is, you know, you are in need. The human beings are in need, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His wisdom, He would not leave the creation unattended without the truth. So that's one way to look at it.
وَهُوَ آيَةٌ كَبِيرَ عَلَى أَنَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
And this is a big sign that He is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وَأَمَّا الثَّانِي, as for the second, فَمَنْ عَرِفَ النَّبِيَّ صلى الله عليه وسلم مَعْرِفَةً تَامَّةً وَعَرِفَ سِيرَتَهُ وَهَدْيَهُ قَبْلَ الْبَعْثَ وَنُشُوءَهُ عَلَى أَكْمَلِ الْخِصَالِ ثُمَّ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ قَدْ ازْدَادَتْ مَكَارِمُهُ وَأَخْلَاقُهُ الْعَظِيمَةُ الْبَاهِرَةُ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ.
The Shaykh said, secondly, those who know the Prophet ﷺ in full, those who truly know him, and they know his guidance and his biography, even before his advent, وَنُشُوءَ عَلَى أَكْمَالِ الْخِصَالِ
and him being brought up on the most, يعني the best of qualities, the best character, صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Then after that, after his advent, he sees how he increased in his good noble character, in his noble character and his morals, and that was just amazing for those who viewed him. Yani the people who would be around the Prophet ﷺ used to be shocked from the overwhelming kindness and generosity and good character that he had. Even the disbelievers, you know, who would come with the intent to insult him or humiliate him or harm him, but once they have an interaction with him, they will change their mind. Many of them came, or one of them came a long distance with a sword out and the poison. He already put poison on, coming to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He ran into who though? He ran into Umar. You don't want to run into Umar, man. You may run into anyone, Umar ibn al-Khattab, not your average brother. They say that when he would stand on the horse, his legs, he would be standing on the horse and his legs are touching the ground. Umar radiallahu anhu was not, you know, some, you know, the average young small brother. He was a big brother. And brothers used, and people used to be scared of him, man. You know, brother was like, mashallah, tabarakallah, rahmatullahi alayhi wa radiallahu anhu arda. So this man ran into Umar. He said, where are you going? He said, you know, he found out that he's going. He said, man, you're not going anywhere. The Prophet ﷺ said, leave him. Now this man had a conversation under the Kaaba. This was in Medina. This man who came to kill the Prophet, he had a conversation with another man under the Kaaba, and they were talking about how they want to kill the Prophet. So he told them, Wallahi, I would kill him if it wasn't for my children and debt. I have debt that I owe the people. I have my children, I'm worried about who will take care of them. Otherwise, I would go kill him.
So the man told him, go. I will pay your debt. I will pay your debt. If something happens to you, your debt is on me, and I will take care of your children like they are my children. And they made this agreement, and there was no one there. They were speaking near the Kaaba, there was no one there. The Prophet in Medina. But the revelation came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet that this particular conversation happened. So then this man got on his horse, he got his sword, dipped it in poison, going with the intent to kill the Prophet because somebody has promised him that he will take care of his back, huh? when he goes. He made it all the way there, and he wanted to go and kill him. And Umar stopped him. The man said, the Prophet said, let him come in. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, he come. He said, let him come in. So the man came in. The Prophet said, what brought you over here? So the man gave him false information. He told him, I'm here for whatever. He gave him some other reason. The Prophet said, no, you have to tell me the truth. Why have you come here? The man tried to get away again. The Prophet said, no. Then he told him, you came here because you and such person by name, you were sitting around the Kaaba, and then you had this particular discussion. He told him this, and then he told you that he would take care of your offspring and your debt, and this is why you came here. And at the very moment, the person said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. No way, anyway, I'm in Mecca. You're in Medina. No way you could have known this unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending you revelation. But anyways, look at the Prophet's bravery, and he didn't say, oh, kill this guy outside, you know, or he went to, you know, tie him up a little bit, and he's not just, you know, smacking him around like maybe some would do right now as means of revenge, or, you know, pour some benzene on him or something like that, alaykum salam. Rather, he had a rational discussion with this individual, and that made this person who went with the intent to kill the Prophet to become a Muslim right in his presence. And the examples of that are too many. Too many where some Bedouins will come and, you know, they will mistreat him alayhi salam because they were rough by nature. The Bedouins are rough by nature.
Some are wrestling in their
breath. Huh? Wrestling him, yes. Yeah, many examples that we learn from the biography. All of these are indications that he alayhi salam was upon the greatest character. That anyone who viewed him, whether from the believers or the disbelievers, they recognize that this is a noble character of the Messenger of Allah. But the kuffar are kuffar.
فمن عرفها وسير أحوال عرف أنها لا تكون إلا أخلاق الأنبياء الكاملين.
So whoever observed those incidents, raikum salam, and you know, he will know that this is could only be the character of the prophets of Allah, those who are perfect and those who are complete in their character.
لأن الله تعالى جعل الأوصاف أكبر دليل على معرفة أصحابها وصدقهم وكذبهم.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the attributes or the qualities of a person the biggest indication for you to know whether these people are truthful or liars. Yeah, and you can tell from the quality of someone what kind of individual they are. Allah has made these a science. So when you observe the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you see his truthfulness and his kindness, then this is an indication about the reality of the Messenger of Allah, that he's not an imposter or he's a fabricator or as they claim.
وأما الثالث فهو معرفة ما جاء به صلى الله عليه وسلم من الشرع العظيم.
Thirdly, it is knowing what the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has brought or has been given from the law, from the legislation, this magnificent and great law that the Muslims we have, you know. And I'll let the Shaykh elaborate.
والقرآن الكريم المشتمل على الإخبارات الصادقة.
And this glorious Quran. And I make this comment and reminder again and again and again. That because it's very common among the brothers who make da'wah. And even it's available on websites, you read it from du'at, you read it from all kinds of people, say the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran. There is no such thing as the Holy Quran. No such thing, ya akhwan. We must understand this. Because the holy means muqaddas. Muqaddas. And it is the statement that the Christians give to their book, the Bible, which is not muqaddas in any way, shape or form. So they call it the Holy Bible. So some Muslims wanted to show them that we also have holy, so we made the Holy Quran. But in reality, to give the Quran this particular title, you must have an evidence. And if you read the whole Quran, or you listen to the whole Sunnah, you will never hear the Prophet ﷺ say, Al-Quran al-Muqaddas. Or Al-Kitab al-Muqaddas. This is never a statement that is made. So So for you to use that and make it the effort, I mean, it is holy because it is from Allah. Don't misunderstand me. It is a holy book because it's from Allah. But to make this the title of the Quran, the Holy Quran, Allah didn't call that in the Quran. Allah called Quranul Majid, Quranul Kareem, glorious Quran, noble Quran, huh? The great Quran. Yes, these are titles confirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah. We accept. But we should avoid using the term the Holy Quran, because it is not a name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to His book. If it was a befitting book, it would have been mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah that it's called the Holy Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used alternative state terms and descriptions to this book. So we must stick to them. Also because the Christians use that against us. The Christians, they think that we're trying to, as they say, ride on their jock. We're trying to follow them and imitate them. We're trying to be like them. So they say, oh look, we have a Holy Bible. They say now they have the Holy Quran. You see what I'm saying? We are in no need of that. We don't need their sadaqah or their charity. We have our own honor and dignity. You have a Holy Bible? Okay, you go have 66 books in the Protestant one and 73 for the Catholic. That's your problem. We don't have these problems. We have the noble Quran or the glorious Quran. So even if you hear it from du'at and things of the sort, if somebody made a mistake, it doesn't mean that you follow them on their mistake because there's a big shaykh. Okay? Each one of us is fallible. You may make mistakes, you make errors. Our goal is to go whatever the sunnah and the truth is, regardless of the presenter. No one is perfect. Tayyib? So my advice to those involved in da'wah, avoid using the term the Holy Quran. Although that one by Yusuf Ali, which you should not be using. You should not be using the interpretation of the meaning by Yusuf Ali, because Yusuf Ali has a belief system other than that of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah from the Batiniyah, and he was among the denomination of Shia, actually, in case you don't know. And his interpretation of the Quran is unacceptable. The only thing that was good about it is the language, eloquence. He was very eloquent in the English language, you know, old style, Dao, this and that, like the Bible. That's one aspect for linguistically. But belief system wise, you know, there are many things that he does not believe in. You know, in terms of the belief in the angels and the Day of Judgment, and very strange belief system that has been already mentioned and discussed by the scholars and the ulama. So the one by Yusuf Ali, which is very commonly used among the du'at from back in the day, those famous du'at, they always propagated that. We do not use this particular interpretation of the Quran in English. We don't. We use the one by maybe Muhsin Ali Khan and the Dr. Hilali, or the one by Sahih International. There's a number of authentic ones, alhamdulillah, that you use. You don't use Thicket Hall, you don't use the Yusuf Ali one. Tayyib? And furthermore, and they are the ones who also call it the Holy Quran. So it is not a Holy Quran, it is a noble Quran or a glorious Quran. Huh? And this is the term that we stick with according to the statement of Allah in the Quran. بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٌ. Huh? بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ. Majid, glorious. It's a glorious Quran. Is that clear?
Clear.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
You're back, huh? Tayyib. وَالْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ الْمُسْتَمِلْ عَلَى الْإِخْبَارَاتِ الصَّادِقَةِ. See, he even called it Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, the noble Qur'an, which contains the most truthful of incidents and news. The information in the Qur'an is the ultimate truth. وَالْأَوَامِرِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and the good commandments, what you have been asked to do is all good for you. وَعَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. طيب. والنهي عن كل قبيح. And Islam and the Quran prohibits every foul act, every يعني reprehensible, unacceptable act. والمعجزات الباهرة, and the outstanding miracles. فجميع الآيات تدخل في هذه الثلاثة. So all of the signs are included in these three, which is the very advent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Looking at his seerah, his biography, his guidance, his character, his the goodness that he had, alayhi salatu wasalam, and furthermore, exploring what he has been given from the Quran. If you bring all these three together, this is the biggest sign. The biggest sign about the Prophet of Allah. If somebody told you, how do you prove that the Messenger of Allah was the Messenger of Allah? Why? You say, first, during his time, there was a lot of kufr, and we know that God would not leave his creation unattended. Second, we have known historically, even from those who rejected him, his good character, his good seerah, his life prior to his advent, which no one will deny. They used to call him As-Sadiq Al-Ameen, the truthful one, the trustworthy. And then we look at this Quran that he has been given, and we look into it, and we get, you know, it's beyond any doubt. All of these are signs that the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was indeed sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this Quran was revealed by Allah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قوله بشيرا أي لمن أطاعك بالسعادة الدنيوية والأخروية. بشيرا, giver of good news or glad tidings, for to those who obey you. So the good news is what? Happiness. Happiness in this life and in the hereafter, in this worldly life and in the life to come. Wa alaykum salam. Wa nadhiran liman asaka bishakawati wal halaki dunyawi wal ukhrawi. And a warner to the one who disobeys you, to the one who disobeys you, for wretchedness and destruction in this life and in the hereafter. And there's a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ where he mentioned that the angels came. Some angels came to Prophet ﷺ while he was sleeping. And one of them said, he is sleeping. And the other angel said, the eyes sleep, but the heart is awake. And then they said, verily this companion of yours has an example. So strike an example. They said, he is sleeping. Then the other said, the eyes sleep, but the heart is wide awake. And then they finally made the example that the similitude of Prophet ﷺ is like a king who had a feast, and he invited the people to the feast. So whosoever responds to the caller will go in and eat therein. And whosoever does not respond to the caller, then he will not be able to go in and he will not be able to eat. Then they said, Muhammadun farqun bayna al-nas aw farqa bayna al-nas, depending on the two different ways to pronounce this particular word. Then they said, the Messenger Muhammad sallam is a distinction between the people, is the line, the criteria between the people. Meaning him alayhi salatu wasalam is the fine line between belief and disbelief today. During other times before him alayhi salatu wasalam, it was whatever messenger that was available during that time. Now after the advent of the seal of the prophets, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the fine line between belief and disbelief. Anyone who does not believe in him after the message has come is like the one who was invited by the king to the feast and he did not respond to the caller. He will never go into paradise and eat. And anyone who responds, then he will be able to enter paradise and enjoy the fruits and whatever Allah has given from pleasure for the believers. So the Prophet Muhammad sallam, farqun bayna al-nas, he's the one that makes a distinction between the creation after his advent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you meet a Christian who tells you, oh, I also believe there's one God. Yes, Jesus is only the messenger of God. You may come some of the funny guys. I call them funny people because they're liars. But let's say you run across them, say, yes, oh nice, yes, I've seen, sawa, me too, no, Muhammad, Jesus, messenger of God, no, he's not God, he's not the son of God, he didn't die for my sins, he gives you the whole thing, so you're still not a believer. Until you accept the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's ma'alish, akhwan. Yeah, brother, habibi, barakallahu teek, zakallahu khayra. Until you accept the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the messenger of Allah and you believe in the Quran, you will not become a believer. So it is not enough to accept some and reject some. Because we know Iman, the six pillars of Iman, including everything in them, is one big stone that you cannot break and carry some and leave alone some. You either pick up the whole thing or you drop the whole thing. That's it. That's how you understand it. If you are taking the whole thing, then you must take everything that comes with it. You believe in everything from Allah. If you try to divide it, then you have not picked up Iman. You do not have Iman. You may have Iman in some aspects, but the other part you're missing nullifies your Iman. It makes it void. Because Allah says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ in Surah Yusuf وَإِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Malish, I need to quote it properly. Alhamdulillah, I open right to the surah, mashallah. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ mushrikun. And the majority of them do not believe in Allah except while they ascribe partners to Him. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He confirmed that they believe in Allah, but while ascribing partners, which is, as the scholars explained, they believe in rububiyyah, in Allah's lordship, Allah the Creator. وَلَا إِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ رَبْلَا يَقُلُونَ اللَّهِ أَوْ لَكُنَ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. If they ask Him, who created the heavens and the earth, or who created you, they will say Allah. So they believe in the lordship of Allah, the Creator, the Sustainer, which they call the Father, according to the Christians. But when it comes to worshipping Allah alone, they don't have that. So their rejection of worshipping Allah alone nullifies their belief that Allah is the Creator. It takes it away. It becomes of no benefit. طيب? Because it is not full, it's not complete. المهم ولا تسأل عن أصحاب الجحيم أي لست مسؤولا عنهم إنما عليك البلاغ وعلينا الحساب. And you will not be asked about the companions of the hellfire. Meaning, you are not responsible for them. The only thing you are expected to do is what, ya akhwan? Relay the message. Your job is to convey. Only. When you give da'wah, if you have the ability, you tell the person, listen, I have a job and a hope. You put it like this. I have a job and I have a hope. My job is to convey the message of Islam to you. My hope is that you accept it. The two different things. My hope is that you become a Muslim, but that's only a hope that I have. I'm not going to force you. You see, because there's no ikrah, no compulsion in the religion. But my job is to tell you about Islam. So they must understand that you are doing your job by giving them da'wah. Just in case they tell you that I don't want to hear it, blah, blah, things of this sort. But then of course you hope that these people will become Muslims. That's why you're giving da'wah. But at the end of the day, balagh, tabligh, conveying, relaying, delivering the message. That's it. And the rest is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as guidance, the al-hidayah al-tawfiqiyah, tawfiq, success and guidance is from Allah. We do the hidayah of al-irshad, the hidayah of guidance. You tell someone, if you want to go to Medina Road, you go straight, huh? The first intersection you make the left, then you get a ramp, you get on it and you get on Medina Road. What are you doing? You only giving him directions. Can you guarantee that he will follow your instructions? Can you guarantee he will not have a flat tire? He will not go the wrong way? No. So your job is to give him directions. Allah is the one who will give him success to travel on this road or otherwise. Allah will not hold you accountable. Why did the man make the right? SubhanAllah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. You gave him directions to make a left. He made a right. This is now between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your job is only to give him directions. So this is what we do. We give directions and we try our best and given the good directions, and you know, we ask Allah to allow them to follow the instructions that you give them, but this is all that we can do. Then the guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى. This is the most interesting verse. Verse 120. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. 120 please.
Never will the Jews nor the Christian be pleased with you, O Muhammad. Tell me for their religion. Say, verily the guidance of Allah is coming from reason. That is the only guidance. And if you, Muhammad, were to follow the Jews and Christians' desire, after what you have received of knowledge, except the Quran, then you would have against Allah neither anybody nor any helper.
This actually verse, we could have maybe 10 sessions dealing with this verse alone. This something that is, because this is da'wah right there. This is the epitome of da'wah. That every da'iyah must know in the bottom and the depth of his heart. And you must believe in what Allah said. I mean, most of the problems of the ummah today are because of the misunderstanding of this verse. They continue to think that the Jews and the Christians are looking after the well-being of the Muslims, or that they will ever support us, or defend us, or be there for us as means of
love and care. And this is never the case, because this Allah has rejected in the Quran. Allah says, and they will never be accepted. The Jews, neither the Jews nor the Christians will ever be pleased with you until you follow their religion. You could do whatever you want to your Christian family member. You could go to church, and you shouldn't. I'm not saying that these things are okay. They may tell you, come with us to church, you may go to church. They may tell you, just have some pork chops, you may have some. Tayyib, assuming that you're totally on vacation with your brain. They may tell you, have some alcohol, you may. Get a girlfriend, you will. Tayyib, you try to do everything. Some people think that by doing this, they will get them close to Islam. Huh? Say, oh, man, so they will like me, and then I give them da'wah. You may do all of this. They will not be pleased with you until you say that Jesus is Allah, or Jesus is the Son of Allah, or until you abandon Islam and go back to the religion. Then only then they will be pleased with you. Before that, no such thing. If you say otherwise, then you are belying the Quran. I don't know, who do we believe, Allah or the human beings? Allah says they will never be pleased with you. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى. They will never be pleased with you. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you follow their way, until you belong to their religion. This is why when you give da'wah, you must hold your Islamic grounds. You hold your Islamic grounds. You do not compromise with what Allah has given you from guidance. Because they will never be pleased with you until you leave that. So the more you give away, the more they will be happy. But you will not benefit, because it's not going to work. Unless you leave alone your religion, which is something that you will never do, inshallah. So then we hold our ground. Birthday parties and Christmas parties and New Year Eve and all this nonsense. Say, wallah, let me go there for da'wah. No such thing, Habibi. They will not be happy. You go there trying to make them happy, they will be happy with you in one aspect. Temporary happiness for joining them in their falsehood. But at the end of the day, they still hate you because you're a Muslim. You must know this. That you must know inside, he may not tell you that he hates you. He may hug you and kiss you and go play soccer with you. But inside, he cannot love you. The same way you cannot love him. A Muslim cannot really love a kafir. You cannot, if you are a true believer. How are you going to love someone who belies Allah? Someone who insults the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone who curses Allah and says that Allah has taken his son. How could you love someone who is the enemy of Allah? You cannot. Now, it doesn't mean that you mistreat them, or that you become wicked with them, because that's not what the Prophet ﷺ did. Rather, he treated them with kindness and generosity in order to bring them to Islam. So we must follow the same. We must be also on a middle course with this. Do not let the hatred we have in our hearts, go out in such a way where you would push them away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do that. Rather, we call them to Islam with wisdom and good preaching. And we argue with them in a manner which is best, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us commandments in the Quran and how to give da'wah. But at the end of the day, the Prophet ﷺ made very indications, and even in the Quran Allah says, you will not find a group of people who believe in Allah on the last day taking allies those who disbelieve in Allah. You will not find them. Someone who truly believes, they cannot take allies the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the major difference that we have. Is that clear? That does not mean that we transgress or we oppress them, but we're talking about the affairs of the heart. Your heart only feels good with a believer like you, when you see a believer like you, there's a click, alatul, a link that is established. Subhanallah, you don't know how. Oh, mashallah, balik Islam, I'm balik Islam, oh brother. But when you meet a Catholic, but now, I don't know, man. You know, there's a big barrier. It's not tangible. It is not there. It's not physical barrier. But there's a barrier of faith because of the major difference between the two of you. You know, you are striving day and night to do good deeds and to avoid bad deeds. You strive, you go to salah, you lower your gaze when you see women, you stay away from smoking, stay away from alcohol, stay away from haram. You avoid and abandon many things. And you do many good deeds. And you know what the Christians will say? Say, you are prideful. They say, you think because you're doing all... I've heard this from more than one of them. They say that we Muslims are arrogant and full of pride. We think that we are going to
So they accuse us of pride and arrogance. On the other hand, he believes that someone died for his sins. So he doesn't have to strive for good deeds, and he doesn't have to avoid bad deeds. Because it's already done for him. Look at the difference. Who's arrogant? The Muslim who's hoping Allah will accept and striving in worship, or someone who thinks he's so special that the Son of God was killed for him so he could have some good time. Subhanallah. But they don't see that. And I heard there was a debate, without telling you where, between a Muslim and a Christian. And the Christian was on the stage and he was being asked questions. And so a Muslim brother came and he just gave him this question that was just hilarious. The way he put it and the way, you know, the guy tried to answer it. He said, you know, every country the Muslim is studying. He was mad. I don't know why he was mad. He was speaking with a lot of force. He said, you know, every country has a criminal law, right? And he's asking for the acknowledgement of the Christian speaker. He said, yes. He said, every country has a criminal law. You do a crime, you will be held accountable for it, for the crime that you do, right? He said, yeah. He said, and you say that Jesus, if you accept Jesus, then all of your sins, everything that you do, including the criminal act, will be forgiven. He said, yes. He said, so if I kill you, I will give me a letter that I take to court, say Jesus died for my sins. I will accept Jesus that he died for my sins. You write a letter for me that says that Jesus took away my sins. You write a letter for me so they will not put me in prison. Isn't it the guy on the stage, man, he almost fell apart. He's like, I was like, then the brother started laughing, the whole crowd was laughing. They told the brother, go back, man, go back. You really? Really, that's a very way, nice way to put it. He said, why would you take me to prison if already Jesus said, yeah, if everybody accepts Jesus, then what will be left on earth? Everybody will have their sins paid for? Then everybody can kill everybody, you can steal, khalas, my sins have already been paid for. So this is just a very realistic understanding of this concept of laziness that the Christians have developed. Jesus, you know, thank you God, you know, you hear this in the city emails, thank you Lord for taking away my sins through Jesus, I am very grateful, blah blah blah. That, you know, what is this lazy lifestyle? That someone already did the job for you, and then you could just have a lavish life and enjoy yourself. You don't have to worry about the consequence of your sins because Jesus took away the sins of the people. Yani very, very foolish belief. And that yet they consider us the Muslims who strive in worship prideful. Because we think that we want to earn paradise with deeds. To them, it's by the grace of God. It's grace, not deeds. And it's really the other way around. But Allah understand. So anyways, now we must really truly understand that the Jews and the Christians, and we specify the Christians because this is the ones we deal with more often, they will never be pleased with you until you leave alone Islam and you say, okay, I'm going back to your religion. Whether it is Catholicism or born again Christianity or Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever, they want you to go back to them. They do not want you to be Muslims, otherwise they will ever be unpleased with you. If this is the case, then we should not be concerned about their pleasure either. We should look for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we know that they will never be pleased with us unless we follow their ways, then we should not care about them anymore. We should care about the pleasure of Allah. If through the pleasure of Allah they are guided to Islam, alhamdulillah. But we do not do it the other way around, where you will abandon the teachings of Islam thinking that you are going to give them da'wah in this way. Thus you are attaining the displeasure of Allah and thinking that you're going to get their pleasure, but the pleasure you will get from them is not sufficient. And it is temporary. They want you to fully leave Islam. يخبر تعالى رسوله أنه لا يرضى منه اليهود ولا النصارى إلا باتباع دينهم. Allah tells His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Jews and the Christians will never be pleased until he follows their religion. لأنهم دعاة إلى الدين الذي هم عليه. Because they are callers to the religion that they are upon. Be careful. They are callers to the religion that they are upon. ويزعمون أنه الهدى, and they claim that that is the guidance. فقل لهم, so say to them, إنا هدى الله الذي أرسلت به هو الهدى. Verily, the guidance of Allah, the one I have been sent with, is the real guidance. and not the other way around. And this is another problem that you hear very often between in some of these debates, and this is why I remind the brothers, be careful about the debates and the methodology that is followed in the debates. A lot of the things that happen are actually un-Islamic and not according to the Sunnah. So if you want to listen to the debate so you can benefit from some of the arguments that the Muslims have against the Christians, alhamdulillah. But to try to follow that lifestyle and da'wah, then no. Because that's not the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Specifically because we can think they always call them our brother, Christian brothers, Christian. They're not our brothers. They are not our brothers. They are, you know, in humanity. Yes, because we're all the children of Adam, but they're not brothers as it is said in their debate. Furthermore, you will hear very often that, you know, we're not trying to convert you to Islam. Huh? You know, we're not trying to convert. I heard this very recently in a very big debate. The speaker before the one, the chairman, before introducing both speakers, he said, we are not here to convert each other. And I said, subhanAllah, then what are we there for? Then what were you there for? Don't you think that the Christians want you to become a Christian? Ajib, what do you think the missionaries doing every day? And what about you, the da'iyah? Don't you want them to become Muslims? Don't you want them to convert? Yes? So why lie? Why say that we don't want, we're not trying to convert each other? No, we are trying to convert each other. We are trying to convert the Christians to Islam. Because don't you want to save them from the fire? Of course. You don't want a human being to go to the fire. You don't. So you strive to give them the truth. And similarly, they strive to give you what they have. So these kind of things we must be careful of. We don't follow this methodology. You don't go tell someone, I'm not trying to convert you. Say, I am. I told you, as I told you earlier, I have a job and I have hope. I hope that you will become a Muslim. For you, what do I got to lose? What do I got to lose? I don't have nothing to lose. It's with me, between me and Allah. On the day of judgment, you will be asked. You will be asked about what did you believe about Allah? Did you believe in the oneness of Allah as it was taught by the prophets and messengers? Or did you believe the teachings of men, Paul and their likes? So that we do want to convert them. The same way they want to convert us. And they strive. They strive, the Christian missionaries, they go to Africa. Huh? From America, from Britain, wealthy, rich people. They go live in an old raggedy house. You know, with no food, no drink. And they give the people food in order to do their, you know, tafsir as they call it, in order to convert people to Christianity. They do that. They go to the Muslims. So then we must know, I mean, what do you think Jehovah's Witnesses do when they knock on your door? You know, they come knocking on your door, man, in the morning. When most people are tired and asleep, you have these Jehovah's Witnesses. This is in America, very common. Hey, they come, man, they come for real. They have their books and their all stuff, and you know, bah, 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 they come and talk, of course. Alhamdulillah, you want them always to come to the house of a da'iyah who will turn around, you know, say, okay, come sit down, let me make you some tea, and then you counter da'wah on them. You do the counter da'wah on them, and then you have them leave the place confused about what they came in with, you know, and really. And they're already confused. In a recent lecture, Allah bless me, that I had in somewhere, we were discussing the characteristics of the true religion. And after the, of course, when you deal with that, you mention Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism. So after the lecture, a Catholic Christian, a woman from the Philippines, got on the mic and started to refute me, in a sense, saying that, you know, we don't worship the cross. Although in the whole lecture, I didn't even mention worshiping the cross. Okay. She said, we don't worship the cross, and you know, I, blah, blah, blah. And she talked and talked and talked and talked for the longest time. You know, and then at the end, I asked her a question. I said, ma'am, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? She said, yes, I do. I said, then why do you pray? You know what she said? The hall is full of people. Full of people from every religion. Doctors, big shot. She said, because my mom and my dad taught me. And everybody started laughing. I said, man, this whole lecture I've been discussing that we should, you know, we are trying to use intellect to come to the truth, not what our forefathers, you know, have taught us. I understand. But I'm asking you, like, let's see right now, trying to rationalize here. You say that Jesus died for your sins. Then why do you pray? What's the point of prayer? If it's already been paid for. Huh? She said, well, because I'm thankfulness, this is thankfulness of God. I said, so why do you confess sins? So that's the one. Fine, you pray, thankfulness to God. Thank you, God. Let's say we call this prayer. Why do you confess your sins if your sins have been forgiven? Why would you go tell another human being your secrets if Jesus already paid for them? She denied confession. She said that, found a way out. Anyway, she continued to talk. Then I asked her at the end, I said, listen, am I going to the hellfire? I don't accept Jesus as my Savior. Okay, you offer me Jesus as my personal Savior. I tell you, I don't want Him. I believe in Him as the Messenger of God, as a Muslim. That's all I need from Him. But more than that, I don't want Him. Am I going to the hellfire? Tell me. She wouldn't answer. Then she would try to go. I said, ma'am, I'm asking you a simple question. Just tell me, am I going to the hellfire according to your belief system? Well, I'm a common Christian. I don't know. And they said it. She finished without giving me anything satisfactory. A born-again Christian grabbed the mic, sitting right next to her. And the first thing the born-again Christian did, she refuted her. She first declared her innocence from Catholicism, and these people are idol worshippers and they have in the church. We born-again Christian don't have all that. And we are closer to you than blah, blah, blah. Again, she had another discussion. I asked her the same questions. I was not able to find answers again. Says, ma'am, I'm telling you, you just tell me, am I going to the hellfire? Again, I will be getting no answer. When I finished with her, a Jehovah Witness, Allah, this is all in one lecture, one after the other. A Jehovah Witness Christian grabbed the mic and he refuted both. This is all in the presence of everyone. SubhanAllah, this was a sign from Allah. Because I was speaking in the lecture that, you know, there are signs that tell you when the falsehood, you could see falsehood. And the truth is also a sign. This was a sign. Look at these people, three of them in the same place. Each one of them disagrees with the other. According to each denomination, you are disbelievers. And then this is the sign that you're upon them. Anyways, then the Jehovah Witness, you know what the Jehovah Witness concluded? He concluded that I'm also going to paradise. He said, because of your belief in Allah. I said, how do you mean, man? You believe in the death of Jesus, you go to paradise. I believe in Allah, reject Jesus, I'm also going to paradise? How? Oh, he said, I said, what do you mean? This doesn't make any sense. Me and you have two different, how many paradises are there? Are there more than one? You're going to go to one for you, I go to one for me? I mean, there must be only one. Either me and you have the same belief system, so we both go to paradise, or not. So then what is the conclusion? Is that they don't know. None of them was able to answer. None of them knows anything. And each one of them rejects the other denomination. And no one was able to benefit from the speech of these three individuals. Cannot give you an answer, no knowledge, no understanding, no certainty regarding anything. So what kind of religion is that? How is that from God? When you're unable to convey it to someone, you know, unless you have to lie or cheat or fabricate or use your emotion or philosophy. You give them anything, they will use philosophy. If you ever ask the Christian why did Jesus said that on the cross, God, God, why have you forsaken me? You will hear some strange answers. He said because God cannot be close to sin. And Jesus at this point was carrying the sin of the people. So God was away from him, so he was saying, God, God, why have you forsaken me? I said, listen to them, man. What is this nonsense, man? Where do you get this stuff from? I told him, give me, where do you get this from? What is this interpretation of yours? God cannot be close to sin. But God created sin. But God created Adam, and he knew he was going to sin. What is this nonsense that he abandoned Jesus at this time? Although they tell you that Jesus willingly he took up the task that he wants to die for the creation. He came with his own will. And according to the other explanation, which doesn't make sense, that God himself became Jesus. Yeah. Why would he be playing game? Why have you forsaken me? What is this for? What is it for? This is this, you know, vain talk, nonsense that they attribute to the prophets and the messengers. It doesn't make any sense. And they will never be able to convince you because they themselves don't even understand what they believe. But it's just as the woman said, my mom and my dad. My mom and my dad taught me, she doesn't know why. Imagine an answer if I tell you, Akhi, why do you do salah? She says, because my dad told me to do salah. Isha that. You don't do it to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, you must know that. She said, because my mom and my dad told me that. I said, okay, well, thank you very much for sharing that information with us. But the idea is, the guidance of Allah is the guidance. And this is why the next verse says, وَأَمَّا مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ الْهَوَى. As for what you, Jews and Christians, are upon, it is desires. Hawa. desires and you know your own thoughts and philosophy, not guidance from Allah.
بدليل قوله ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير.
Because of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you were to follow their desires, huh? Their what is the word I'm looking for? How did they give me the other word they said there besides desires?
Desire.
No, it's in the read the English.
Desire.
ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم, and if you were to follow their, does it say desires?
Yeah,
only desire?
Yeah, only desire.
Only desire. There's another word that I cannot think of right now. Anyways, if you were to follow their desires, after that which has come to you from knowledge, then verily you will have with Allah no wali, no protector, wala nasir, no one to aid you or give you victory. So فَهَذَا فِيهِ النَّالِ عَظِيمَ عَنْ اتِّبَاعِ أَهْوَاءِ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى. The Shaykh said this has a great, the prohibition, a strong prohibition from following the desires of the Jews and the Christians. وَالتَّشَبُّ بِهِمْ فِي مَا يَقْتَصُ بِهِ دِينِهُمْ, and to imitate them pertaining to that which their religion, that is relevant to their religion. والخطاب وإن كان لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإن أمته داخلة في ذلك. Although the speech is addressing the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but of course his nation is included in that. So when he told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, do not follow their desires, then we are automatically included in this particular command. لأن الاعتبار بعموم المعنى لا بخصوص المخاطب, because the ibra or the lesson يعني is with the general meaning of the statement and not the particular individual who is addressed, which is the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. كما أن العبرة بعموم اللفظ لا بخصوص السبب. This is all قواعد, all principles in tafsir. Similarly, the benefit or the reason is according to the general meaning of the words and not the reason of revelation. For you may have a reason, a verse that was revealed during a certain occasion, but the meaning of the verse is applicable until the Day of Judgment. So the principle in tafsir is that whatever the wording, whatever the verse contains from general meaning, is to be applicable regardless of the reason why it was revealed. May I have been revealed regarding one companion. So you don't say, oh, this verse is only for that companion and it doesn't apply to all. No, al-ibra, huh? The lesson is based on the general meaning of the words. So the point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? And if you were to follow their desires. He didn't say to follow their teachings, huh? Follow their religion, follow their guidance, because they don't have any of these three. All that they have is desires, vain desires. That's what they have. And we were prohibited from following them. If you follow them after you have been guided to Islam, then verily you will have no one to protect you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no source of aid and victory for you. And this is a very serious warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslims who have embraced Islam, and Allah has guided them with this blessing so that they will not turn back on their heels and go back into the religion of disbelief. If you do so, then verily you will have none to protect you from Allah on the Day of Judgment. After the truth has become clear, you go back to the people of desires, the people of innovation, the people of blasphemy, those who say that Allah is a human being, and Allah was in the womb of a mother for 9 months, and Allah was dead, and Allah was resurrected, and Allah was crucified. That's what they believe. That's what they believe. God, Jesus is God, or the Son of God, He's equal to God, and He went through all of these things. What is blasphemy? What did you leave for blasphemy? Nothing. This is just like the Hindu, and the cow God, and the monkey God. Same thing. Khalas, you have destroyed the boundaries of respect that are due to the Creator. You have removed them and you have opened the door of your opinions and desires. So then a Muslim should feel honored with his religion and propagate according to the Quran and the Sunnah, make da'wah according to the Quran and the Sunnah, follow the methodology of the companions and their righteous predecessors and those who came after them, and avoid innovative manners of da'wah that the people have developed that are not going to be as constructive, if constructive at all. And we do not compromise our deen, we do not lie, huh? We do not forge information, we don't say we're not trying to convert you, you are our brothers, we love you, huh? None of this stuff. You don't have to say any of this stuff, because you're lying. You will be lying, because that's not what the belief system of the believer is. Rather, we hold respect with what we have, and we treat people accordingly as well. according to the da'wah methodology that you give them, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the Prophet Muhammad sallam to do during da'wah. He dealt with the people in a very noble manner. You similarly honor them in this fashion. You don't honor their belief system, you can never honor disbelief. But you honor the individual because he's the son of Adam, and you have the hope that he will become a Muslim one day. So this is the last thing I wanted to mention to you, inshallah. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Next week we will be dealing with the ayat number 121 and on. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك.